Today's shiur is Masech Tehul and Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph, and we will begin on Daf Kuf Lamed Amid Beis, 8 lines from the bottom, Toshma. Our Gemara in the previous shiur, Rav Chisda taught us that we're learning that one has to give Matnas Kuhuna, particularly we're speaking about Zroi L'chaim V'keva, and Rav Chisda taught us what is the halacha if somebody damages the Matnas Kuhuna, or eats up the Matnas Kuhuna without giving it to the Kohen. Does the Kohen have a right to make a claim against that individual? And Rav Chisda said he does not. And the Gemara gave two explanations for Rav Chisda's opinion. One is the word zeh comes to teach us that there is no basis for a financial claim. Or the other explanation the Gemara gave was because it's mamon she'en le'tovim. As we explained extensively in the previous year, there is no specific kohen that can make a claim because every kohen is equal. So the Gemara begins by picking up on that challenge. Toshma, v'nayin l'balabayish ochel pareisov tvolim. How do we know that a balabayis that ate his fruit when they're still tevel, became levish ochel ma'isrois of tevelim. That means somebody who has produce has to separate truma and ma'iser. A levi, as we know and we'll discuss, who gets ma'iserishin, is obligated to remove 10% of that ma'iserishin as truma's ma'iser and give it to a kohen. So says the Braisa, Menayim Balabayish, Ochel Peirois of Tvolim, that he eats Tevel. Or the Ken Levi, Ochel Maisrois of Tvolim, or the Ben Levi eats his Tevel that didn't have the Trumas Meiser removed. Menayim Shapotim et Tashlumim. How do we know they're not financially responsible? Tamaloyim of Leichal was Kochim Ne Yisrael Shiyim Ashirimu. En Lecha Behen El Mishas Haram of Eilach. Which means, since when they have a barrel or whatever of tevel, they haven't yet removed the truma, the meiser, the truma's meiser, it's not considered separate. It's not considered truma because it hasn't been separated. What does this braisa clearly indicate? Hamishas haram ve'elich. That let's say a Yisrael has in his possession produce and he properly separates out the truma or the truma smaisa, the levi, and instead of giving it to the kohen, he eats it himself, mir mishalim. Now we have to make a very important point. This braisa is speaking b'mezit, not b'shogig. Why? Because b'shogig, the Torah is very clear that if somebody eats truma b'shogig, he's chayef keren v'chaymish. Here we're talking about a case of mezit where that din doesn't apply, and the braisa seems to indicate that because you ate something that belongs to the kohen, you're obligated to pay. But ask the Gemara, given what Rav Chisda has taught us, amai, why is there a financial obligation? Lahavi kamazik matas kuna ashachlan, that we just said, and we learned yesterday, Rav Chisda says you're not financially responsible. Answers the Gemara, hachinami, the case that this rebbeis refers to is a situation Dosli Yadai B'Tevlayu, V'Kosova Hai Tana, Matana Shloi Horma Kamisha Horma Dan. Which means as follows. This Kayan, even though he did not get separate Tevel, separate Truma, got a whole barrel of Tevel. And this price is of the opinion that even though it hasn't actually been removed, the Halacha looks at it as if it's removed. Now, let me explain what I said. But before I explain what I said, I just want to make a point. The Mefarshim asked, the Achroinim asked, why didn't the Braisa explain that this is Midas Chassidus? We had this at the end of yesterday's shiur. That maybe technically you're not responsible to pay. Midas Chassidus, the right thing is to pay. So the Achroinim answered, the reason the Gemara didn't give that answer, because then it should have said in the first case also, that when you ate it and you didn't separate it, you're not responsible. But we're talking about Midas Chassidus, then you should pay. So that can't be the way to understand the Braisa. So back to this concept of Matana Shloi Horma Kamisha Horma Dami. To understand, we have to give the two examples that Rashi gives. One example Rashi gives is that the kohen received from me the entire barrel without the truma removed. But the halacha looks at it as if that halacha, as if that truma is already separated. That's one way of one example Rashi gives. Another example Rashi gives, it's the Rashi on top of Kuf Laman Aleph Amad Aleph, is that I, the Yisrael, made a deal with the Kohen that all of my Truma he will receive. And since I made that deal, so it's considered as if he already has it. And therefore, even though it hasn't physically yet been separated, the halacha is Matana Shlai Hurma Kamisha Hurma Damian. Interesting to point out, I just repeated, the Rashi gives two examples of what the case here is. What is the difference between the two examples? In the first example, I didn't make any kinyan. He just took the entire tevel, and the halacha looks at it as if he already has truma. In the second case, I actually made a contract with him. I made a kinyan with him that he owns all of the truma. What's the machlokes based on? We're going to have a concept that's going to be recurring in today's shiur and in the coming shiur called Tovus Hanor. What does Tovus Hanor mean? That even though I, Yisrael, am obligated to give Truma Meiser, there's a question, I have the right to choose which kohen to give it to. I have a right to choose which Levi to give it to. The question is Tovus Hanor Momen? Is that considered like I have a financial vested interest in this? If we hold Tovus Hanor as Momen, then I have a right to then for you to get, you to kohen, you to Levi to get ownership, a contract is required. If Tovus Hanor is not considered mammon, then no contract is required. Actually, when we speak about Tovus Hanor, as I said, we're going to speak about it a lot in today's shiur, there's a fundamental machlokes rishonim. What does Tovus Hanor mean? Tovus Hanor means that I have a right to choose which kohen should get my truma. Does that mean I could get paid for it? That means, if you have a son-in-law who's a kohen, so you want I should give my truma to your son-in-law. So some rishonim say I could accept payment for that. Other rishonim say that even though everybody agrees that you can't take money from the kohen directly. The question is, could somebody else give money on behalf of the kohen? Some rishonim say yes, and other rishonim say not. One point. So now that we speak about Tovus Hanor, and now we speak about Tovus Hanor being mammon, we now have a whole new discussion that we haven't spoken about. Al Gemara, already the second shiur, is focused that if I, the Yisrael, eat the matnas kahuna, does the kohen have a financial claim against me? But what would be the halacha if a different Yisrael came and ate, or a kohen, doesn't make a difference, ate that matnas kahuna without my permission? Do I have a financial claim? So if we say, as the Gemara gave one explanation, that the Torah Kedoshah says the word vizeh, and what does the Torah Kedoshah mean with the word vizeh? That whenever we talk about matnas kahuna, there are no financial claims, so it doesn't make a difference who, what, when. But if we explain, Rav Chisda said, the Gemara said in Rav Chisda, that the reason there's no financial claim because it's a mamon shein leitayvin, because you, the kohen, come to me and say to me, you owe me the matnas kahuna. I say, why you? Who said I would have given it to you? So that you could say by a kohen. But if I, the Yisrael, who certainly am the owner or the person that gives out this matnas kahuna, have a claim, I have that right, and now you deprive me of that by eating it and not waiting till I chose who to give it, maybe I do have a right to have a financial claim against you. And then the mafarsh go and ask, if indeed now it's considered mamon sheyesh leitayvin, who can make the claim? I? Or perhaps not me, because I couldn't have eaten it anyway, because I'm not a kohen. Well, I wouldn't have eaten it anyway. Only a kohen that I designate should take you to din Torah. When we speak about matana shloi hurma kamisha hurma dami, Tosfos and the Rosh have machloikis, how far does it go? Some rishonim say, that Tosfos seems to say this, Matanish Kalai Homer means that you, the kohen, giving the case that we learned, got this whole barrel of tevel, and as soon as you get the whole barrel of tevel, the halacha views as if you already have truma and mice and whatever. The Rosh seems to say that it doesn't require my separation, But until it's separated, you can't say that there's real truma here. Continues the Gemara. Toshma. Haresh onto beis hamelech goinai. Here we speak about a situation where the government took away your produce. In b'chayvai. So they took away your produce, and it says, in b'chayvai, if they took it away because I owe taxes, and they take it away because they're foreclosing on me, chayv lasser. So I can't deprive the kohen of that meiser or truma that he was supposed to get. In bampyrus, but if they're just acting illegitimately, patam lasser. But what do we see from here? That it's considered marman sheshli taivin. I have to pay for it. Answers the Gemara, shani hasam the kamishtan shlei. Here it's much more than what we had till now. I'm actually profiting from the truma meiser because I'm paying off my debt to the government. That is certainly usher. So there's a lot to say here. The first question, the question that the Chazon Ish poses, is what's the Gemara ostensibly saying? I had produce, the government took it away, and I have to take Meiser. But that produce is no longer in my possession. How could I take Meiser, Truma, from something which isn't physically in my possession? So I saw two truths into this question. One teretz is that what the Brisa means to say is that I take it off before the government takes it away. Another pshat is that this entire situation is perhaps only Meiser derabbanan, Truma derabbanan, and here Chazal said that the Truma Meiser separation could be effective even when it isn't physically in my possession. So let's think about this Gemara. The Gemara is saying that here it's a whole new situation because I'm profiting from the Meiser. Because by the government taking this Truma Meiser, I'm profiting that I don't have to pay them my taxes, my back taxes, another way. So Tysus asks an obvious question. Let's think about what we've been discussing for these last two shiurim. I went and I ate the Kohen's Matnas Kahuna. So I'm also profiting. I ate the supper. I had the Zeroyal Chaim Kevin for supper. So why is that not called Mishtar Shilei? So Tysus says a very big chiddush. You can't compare the two cases. He says, because in this case, I'm truly profiting. I owe the taxes, and now, by the government taking the Truma Meiser, my debt is taken care of. Supper is not necessarily something that I have to have. I could choose not to eat. So that's not called Mishtar Shei, that's not called profit. So the Achronim say regarding Taisus, so what will be the halacha if I'm a person that must eat, I'm not a well person, I can't skip a meal? Or what about if I'm a Shabbos Yonta, when you're obligated to eat, then I would indeed have to repay the kohen, because I'm profiting, I would have to have the supper. There's a din that the Rishonim say, the Shulchan Aruch paskens this din. Interesting din. Shulchan Aruch says that let's say I invite somebody to my home for a meal. Very interesting din. I invite somebody to my home for a meal. After the meal, I can present them a bill for the meal. This is the classical case of Zeh Nena. You enjoyed, you had a meal. The Zeh Chaser. And it cost me money to provide you that meal. So unless it was clearly understood that this is free, I could present you a bill. Ask the Marit. Al Gemara just said that the only time it's considered that you were Nena, if you profited. Here, you didn't necessarily profit. Why did you necessarily profit? Because you could have said, I wouldn't have eaten the supper if you wouldn't have invited me. Taisus is Vart. So why is it called Zen Nena? Taisus says that it's not Nena unless you couldn't have been without it. So the Tzai says a Gevalda Geteretz. He says there are two separate concepts in Halacha. There's a concept of Nena and there's a concept of Mishtar Shei. He says, of course, if I am Nena from you, I have to pay you. Doesn't make a difference if I'm profiting or not profiting. If I eat food from you, even if I wouldn't have eaten supper otherwise, it's called Nena, and I'm obligated to pay. Now, our sugya, says the Tzais, is a new sugya altogether. The question is, do you have a financial, could you take somebody to Din Torah when it's Mum and Shein Lei Toivin? There, it doesn't, you have to have much more than Nena. You have to have Mishtar Shei. So it's very gishmak. Paying for being Nena, I always have to pay. to avoid the problem of mamon shein lo toivin, it's not enough nena. There it has to be mishtar she as well. Ramosha uses this gemara to discuss a very important shayla in halacha. The Ora Chaim HaKadosh says that the halacha is that one has to give meiser of his earnings to tzedakah. But says the Ora Chaim, if you have taxes, if you pay taxes, that can be deducted. And the explanation is very simple. If you own a store, and Baruch Hashem, you're successful, but you pay rent for your store. So nobody's going to suggest that that rent should not be deducted when you make a calculation how much did you earn, because you have to pay rent. And paying taxes is the same. You have to pay taxes, so it has a right to be deducted. So Rav Moshe says, there are two types of taxes. The type of tax that Rav Moshe discusses is not that common in our society. But in their society, it was a head tax. In other words, we're used to an income tax, that the tax is based on the income that you earn. The tax is based on the real estate that you own. But a person doesn't have to pay tax if he didn't earn anything and doesn't own anything. They used to have a head tax. Everybody has to pay that tax on a yearly basis. Doesn't make a difference if you earned, you didn't earn, whatever. So ask for Moshe, could that tax be deducted from your annual income before you give Meiser? So he uses a Gadol B'Yisrael, takes our Gemara, and uses it as a raya that it cannot be deducted. Why? Because what happened in our Gemara? They took an amount of my produce, because I owe them taxes. So why is there a discussion I owe Trumas and Meisers from this? Taxes, you don't have to give Meiser, we're saying. It must be from here we see that there is an obligation to give Trumas and Meisers even from tax, even from what's called the tax, the head tax. Interestingly, the Mechas Yitzchak does not necessarily agree with Rav Moshe. He says it's a nice raya, but he doesn't necessarily feel it's compelling. There's a tshuv in the Shevet Halevi that discusses this entire subject, and he says as follows. He says that there are three categories of people with Maisik Sofim. Everybody is legitimate in halacha. He says there is one opinion that says that everything that you need to live can be deducted from your earnings before you calculate your obligation to give Maisa. Although, I remember discussing this with Rav Tovia Goldstein, it doesn't mean that you're going to lease an expensive car and rent an expensive house and then say, I have nothing left. We're talking about a normal standard of living. A second opinion takes a stricter view and says that, and of course taxes also are all taken off the top. The second view is the view that we've been talking about now, that there are two types of taxes. Head tax cannot be deducted. Income tax, real estate tax can be deducted. And the third opinion says that taxes are no different than any living expense. And that opinion says that living expenses can't be deducted, neither can taxes be deducted. You take Meiser off the gross. Continues the Gemara. Toshma. We're going to have a Mishnah, Mitzvah Shem, tomorrow Shir. Amalai, Macharli b'nei ma'ay shaparo. Somebody says to a butcher, sell me the stomach of a paro. V'ay b'matnes kuna. And we know that one of the matnas kunas, the kevah, the stomach. Noisn l'koyin. So I have to give the kevah to the koyin. Verim naklam adam. But I can't go back to the butcher and say, I deserve a refund because I had to give away part of the animal. Because I understood that when I bought the stomach, the kevah belongs to the koyin. However, lokachimena b'mashkel, if I paid it by weight, noisn l'koyin. So now I paid for the pound. So the pounds that I have to give away to the koyin, I deserve to get back for. But ask the Gemara, why? This should be considered a situation that I took the matnas kuna, that we're learning that I'm not held responsible. Answer the Gemara, you can't compare this case. Shani hasam d'istamayinayu, which means as follows. In all the cases that we've discussed till now, the matnas kuna are no longer here. And that is a question, does the kohen have a right to take me to the Torah or not? Here the matnas kuna is still here. It's only a question who's financially responsible. If they're still here, of course, the kohen gets them, they belong to him. Tashma. There's a brisa. Actually, Rashi goes into great length in discussing the proper girsa for this brisa, because the brisa delineates the different matnas kuna. And even though, and we're going to learn this in Mitzvah Shem, in the coming shurim, that there are chaf dalad matnas kuna, the 24 matnas kuna, this brisa categorizes them into 9 groups. Tashma tisha nechse kayin. Truma, truma smaisa, which we said earlier, is the 10% of the maisa rishon that goes to the kayin. Chala, Rashis Hagez, the next parak, that from the first wall the kohen gets. Matonis, Matonis are this royal chayim keva which we're discussing. Hadamai means the chazal were concerned that meratzim did not properly take off, or did not at all take off trumas and maestras. So the halach is that when you buy produce from an amaretz, you have to separate your own trumas and maestras. Habikurim, v'kerem v'chayim. What does kerem v'chayim mean? The Torah says that if I, Rahman's son, stole from you, and then I swear falsely that I did not, and then I confess that I did, I have to pay you a keren v'chaymish. I also have to bring a karmen sham gzeilus. But the Torah says, what happens if I confessed to my victim, and by the time I'm ready to confess, my victim is no longer alive, and he has no yarshin. And as the Gemara says many times, the only person that could be like that is a ger. Because every person born as a Jew has a relative. It may not be, it may be a distant relative, but we're all related. But a ger doesn't necessarily. So the halach is that the kohanim get that keren v'chaymish. That says the Gemara lamai. What is the price of me that the next kohen? Lav, letzion b'dayonim. That the kohen has a claim to me. So we see, unlike Rav Chisda, that the kohanim do have a claim, says my loy. That's not what it means. What it means is lechretnan. For what we learned in the Mishnah, lama amru nechse kohen. What does the brisa mean when it says that it's the property of the kohen? That the kohen can do with it whatever he wants. Shekohen ben avodim v'kakos, that he's allowed to buy animals and real estate to behem tameya. Or ba'choiv noitlim b'choivoy. If the kohen owes somebody money, he could pay off his debt with the matnas kuna that he receives. Typically, not always, truma you can't always use. Visha b'ksubasa, you could pay off a ksuba with it. V'sefer Torah, goodbye with Sefer Torah with it. So Rashi and all the Rishonim discuss why is the brisa separate out a Sefer Torah from everything else. So they explain. Some Rishonim explain because Sefer Torah is not really used. Sefer Torah is just looked at. That's the Ramban. Rashi seems to say as follows. You could buy avodim kakos, but you could always sell an evet and buy food with it. You could always sell real estate and buy food with it. The halacha is you're not allowed to sell a sefer Torah. So since you're not allowed to sell a sefer Torah, so the Bryce is teaching us that for this purpose, you're still allowed to buy a sefer Torah even though you can't resell it. Another pshat I saw in sefer Torah, a very nice pshat, is that we know that every Jew has an obligation to write a sefer Torah. And the Bryce is teaching us that if a kohen received truma, or one of the other matnas kuna, and he went and used those funds to buy a sefer Torah, to write a sefer Torah, he has properly fulfilled that mitzvah. So we finished the sugya. The Gemara attempted to challenge, numerous challenges on Rav Chisda, but the Gemara has not been able to break him. We begin a new sugya. The Tariq Daisha, when it speaks about the obligation of matnas kuna, says in introductory words, "V'zeh mishpat hakahanim me'eis ha'am." So, what is the Torah saying? The Torah is saying that the am, whoever's in the category of am, is obligated to give matnas kuna. Kahanim are clearly not in the category of am, and therefore they're not obligated to give matnas kuna. Up to the point that I saw that the Pesukim can discuss. That many people by Nesias Kapayim, when the Baal Tefillah says Kohanim, they all say Am Kodshecha Ka'omer. So first of all, the Mishnah Berurah says it's not supposed to be the Tzibur saying Am Kodshecha Ka'omer. It's the Baal Tefillah supposed to say Am Kodshecha Ka'omer. But some Pesukim have a problem with the Am Kodshecha Ka'omer for two reasons. First of all, I just said Kohanim are not considered Am. The second issue is they're not Am Kochecha, the Am Hashem. So you're going to speak about them, you should call them the Am Hashem. But Ta'al Suya. The question that the Gemara will now discuss extensively is how do we look at Levim? How do we look at Levim? Are Levim part of Am and they have to give Matnas Kuna or not? So says the Gemara. There was a Levi that used to grab the Matnas Kuhuna for himself. And as Rashi explains, children were carrying the Matnas Kuhuna, and he would grab it away from them. And the Chasam Sofer explains, why does Rashi come up with that scenario? Says the Chasam Sofer, because if it's still in my possession, so I said earlier, I have Tovus Hanah, you can't decide. And if I pointed a Shliach, an adult, to carry it to a specific Kayin, so it's that Kayin's. Here he showed that he doesn't really care. The children were carrying it, and he grabbed it away. Also, Amalei L'Rav. So they reported this to Rav. Amalu, so Rav said, Lo mistayu d'loy shaklinu minei. It's not, isn't the Levi satisfied that we don't take Matas Kuna from him? Ela michtav nami chotef. Now he takes his own. The Rav. So ask them, well, what is Rav saying? E ikru am, if the Levim are in the category of am, the mishkanam lishkol minayu, then they should indeed have to give matnas kuna. Eli ikru am, but if they're not called am, rachmona patrinu. The Torah says they don't have to give. So what's Rav giving them, what's Rav saying? Answers the Gemara, misapkle. Rav actually had the following question. E ikru am, are they in the category of Am? Eloi Kram. And therefore, what did Rav Paskin? They can't take, because we don't know that they're entitled to it. But because there's a din of Amoitzi Mechavera Olav Araya, so the Levi has a right to say, you don't know definitively that I'm obligated to give, that's why he doesn't have to give. And as the Mechis Chinuch explains, even though Amoitzi Mechavera Olav Araya is a concept that we used by Dinei Mominus, here we're talking about a Issa, we're obligated to give Matnas Kuna. Matnas Kuna, he seems to say there's a new category. There's Issa that's related to Mominus. This is the best example. And therefore, the rule of Amoitz Mechavera Olav Araya applies. Furthermore, interesting to note, the Rajba already says that what happens if a Levi has an animal and the Kohen goes and seizes this royal Chayim Vakeva, the Levi that the Levi can't demand it back. Because just like the Levi doesn't have to give, the Kohen could tell the Levi, I hold that you're obligated to give, and until you could effectively prove that you're not obligated to give, then I could keep it. Says the Gemara. Yosef Rapapa v'kam la'ashmat. Rapapa was reporting this Gemara. Eser of Idi Baravin Rapapa. The Brisa says, Ab Matanus, Aniyim Shebekerim. There are four matnas anim in a vineyard. Haperet are the small grapes that are left. Oilus also are grapes that are underdeveloped. Hashicha are grapes that you forgot. Vapeya, that's the peya that you leave over. I'm sorry, haperet means the grapes that you forgot on the tree. That v'shoa shebetvua. Three by grain, halach v'ashich v'peya, shnayim shebe'ilon, on a regular tree there are two matnas aniyim, hashich v'peya. Says the Braisa, kulam ein bem tovus hanah l'balim. As the Gemara is going to explain in Amud Beis, these matnas aniyim, I don't choose who to get. I just have to leave them there, whichever oni comes to take, he gets it. And another halacha, v'fil oni shebe'isroh metzim b'yodai. Even if the person that owns this tree, who owns this vineyard, he himself is poor, he still has to leave over these matnas aniyim. However, continues the Braisa, Maisa ani amschalik b'toch beisoy, which means, as we discussed yesterday, in the third and the sixth year of the Shemitah cycle, we give Maisa ani, that's something else. Yesh b'tovus hanah l'balim. There the halach is that I have the Maisa Ani in my home, and I have a right to choose which poor person should get it. However, here too, the halach is, afil ani shebi Yisrael, maitzin ha'isa b'yodai. You have a right, even if the person who has the matnas aniyim, the Maisa Ani, is poor himself, he has to give it to another poor person. Furthermore, says the Braisa, V'shab Matnas Kuhuna, Kigon Azroyim L'chayv V'keiva, Ein Maitzi Noisen Loi Mikoyim L'koyim V'loi Malevi Malevi. We'll speak about this later, line later. Now the Gemara begins to analyze the Braisa. Says the Gemara, Av Matanish B'kerim, there are four Matnas Kuhuna on the Kerim, Haperet V'oilus V'shich V'peya. How do we know about these three? The Ksiv, the Torah says, V'kar M'choloi Soil, that refers to the oilus, or parrot karmacholos laka, that refers to the parrot. The ksiv, kisifzo karmacho lois oil achrecha, arach levi, achrecha zushicha. When the Torah uses the words achrecha, it means shicha. Peya, gomer, achrecha, achrecha, mizayas. We learn from the zayas tree that there's an obligation to live peya, the ksiv, because what does the Torah say regarding the zayas tree? Zayas tree. Kisach b'zayisecho lo sefar achrecho, v'tana de bevi shmo, shloi tiltot tefata memeni. What is the beauty of a tree? The tztaka, the peya. Shalosh shebetfuo. Furthermore, when we speak about tfuo, they have three matnas anim, halacha v'shich v'peya, the ksiv, as the Torah Kedoshah says, u'v'kutzrucha v'ktsir atzchem, lo sechala pas tzotcha v'kutzrecha, v'leked, so here we have Peya, Leked, and Shicha. Machlokes Rishonim, if all Tvua, if anything that grows from the ground is Mechuyiv in Leked, Shicha, and Peya, or Midaraisa, it's only the Chamisha Mine Dagen, and everything else is only Midrabonim. Machlokes Rishonim. Shibi Elon, we said that what are the matnas anim on a tree? Hashich v'apeya. The ksiv, kisach b'zaysecha lo yisofar achrecha. We just said, v'tana d'ber b'shmo, shloi titol t'farta menu, which means the peya, achrecha zushicha. So we see that by trees, there's a chiv of peya and shicha. Here too, a machloikas rishonim, if the chiv by ilonos, when we speak about ilonos, does it mean all trees? That any fruit that goes from a tree has a chiyuv peya and shicha, or is midaraisa this din only by grape and by olives, and everything else is only midrabanan. The korn, the braisa continued saying, ein betan tavis and alabalim. By these matnas aniyim, it is not the owner who has a right to choose who should get the matnas aniyim. My tama, azivik sebe. Because the Torah uses the words aziva, which means you just have to leave it there. Whoever comes, takes it. Furthermore, said the Braisa, even if the owner of these trees or produce is an oni, he still has to give these matnas aniyim. The ksiv leke ketzircha lo salaket, la'oni v'lager tazav oisam. The Torah, by saying this twice, tells us lo salaket and tazav oisam, lahaza oni shaloi. That even the Oni has to leave over these matnas aniyim. Continues the Gemara, the Braisa said, but when I'm distributing Maisa Oni out of my house, there I do have the right to choose which Oni should receive it. My Tama, why is it different here? Says the word Nesina Ksibay, because the Torah here uses the word Nesina. Nesina means that I have a right to give to whom I want. Furthermore, the Braisa said, even a poor person is obligated to give Maisru Oni. We learn from the Lekut Shicha Peya. Ma lahalon, just like the Lekut Shicha Peya, Muzah Oni Shaloi, we just finished proving that Oni has to give them. Afkan Muzah Oni Al Shaloi. The Shah Matnas Kuna said the Braisa, this is what's relevant to our Shia today. Kigon Azroya Lechaim Vakeva. We don't obligate a coin to give it to another coin, nor do we not obligate a levy to give it to another levy. What is the Braisa saying, says the Gemara? Hold me levy, lekoyim mitzian. A levy doesn't give it to another levy. A coin doesn't give it to a coin. But it seems that a levy does give to a coin. So Rav said that we don't know how to treat levium. And therefore we don't make levium give meiser, give zroel chai v'keva. This Braisa clearly indicates that we do. Answers the Gemara, Alma, isn't this a proof that ikru am, that the Levim are in the category of am and are obligated to give Zroel Chayim v'kaiva. Says the Gemara, that's not what the Braisa means. Kigoyin has Zroya v'loy Zroya. It means something like the Zroya, but not actually the Zroya. What does it mean? Omayin you, my Sarishin. The Braisa means that the Levi has to give my Sarishin to the Kohen. Ask the Gemara, my Sarishin, how can we say that this price means my Sarishin? The Levi who? The my Sarishin, who gets? The Levi. So how could the price say that the Levi doesn't, the Levi has to give the my Sarishin to the Kohen? Answer the Gemara, Kribalaz ben Azariah. This price is following the opinion of Kribalaz ben Azariah, a sugya mesech the Yevomis, the Tanya, the price says, Truma, the Kohen, the Truma goes to the Kohen, my Sarishin le Levi. My solution indeed goes to the Levi. Divrei, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Omer, Afil Kayin. The Kayin also could get the My solution. Ask the Gemara, you haven't resolved that difficulty. Because Omer, the Rabbi ben Azariah, what is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah saying? Afil Kayin. That not only can you give the My solution to Levi, you could give it to a Kayin as well. However, Lekayin v'loy Levi mi Omer, did he ever say that it doesn't go to a Levi? So the Brice is still difficult. The Brice is saying that the Levi has to give Maiserishin to the Kayin. That's what it meant when it said Kigoyin's Royal Chayim Vakeva. Doesn't make any sense. He, indeed, a Kayin could get it, but that doesn't mean that the Levi can't get it. Answer in. What the Brice means, Labasa the Kitsinu Ezra. The Gemara teaches us there that by the time of the second base of Mikdash, when Ezra brought up people to Eretz Yisrael, no Levian wanted to come with him from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. So Ezra fined them that they lost the Maaser Rishon. Eimer, and that's what the Braisa means, that they lost their Maaser Rishon and they have to give it to the Kohen. Ask the Gemara, yes, he fined them. However, Eimer the Kansina Ezra, what did he fine them? The Loyavina Luhu, that a Levi doesn't get Maaser Rishon. That if I, the Yisrael, have to give my Sarishin, don't give it to Levi, give it to a Kohen. Mishko minayim yomer, did he have a right to say that what, even that they, not only don't they, the insult to injury, that not only do they have to give it, but they should lose what they have? That can't be. So we're back to where we started. Isn't this Brisa speaking about Zroel Chaim Vakeva? And the Brisa is saying that the Levi must give it. Says, so that's not what it means. What it means is, Kigoyin, El Kigoyin, Zroya Vizloy Zroya, Maini Rashis Hagais. So what the Bryce is saying, that Rashis Hagais, which is like Zroya Lekeva, is given to the Kohen, and the Levi doesn't keep it. Zroya Lechaim Vekeva, however, maybe the Levi could keep. So there's a few things to discuss. The first and most obvious question is Taisha's question. If the Gemara is saying that the definition of Kigoyin Zroya means the Reishis Hageis, so why did the Gemara say Reishis Hageis? If that's what you meant, you should have said it. So Taisha's answers, if the Gemara would have just said Reishis Hageis, if the Brice would have just used the word Reishis Hageis, we could come to make an error that all Matnas Kuna should be treated the same way. And now we're saying not that way. So that's why it says Kigoyin, and we interpret it to mean Reishis Hageis, which leads us to understand that the Reishis Hageis, and only the Reishis Hageis, and not the Zroel Chaim Vakeva. Why not the Zroel Chaim Vakeva? Because if the Brice meant Zroel Chaim Vakeva, it wouldn't have used the word Kigoyin. So that's how we are, that's why it's understandable that Kigoyin, Zroel Chaim Vakeva, is very needed, those are very needed words. Another question. The Ritvaz discusses this question. The Mishnah Melech discusses this question. What is our Gemara teaching us? That the Levim, because they didn't come up with Ezra to Eretz Yisrael, were fined that they lost the Maaser Rishon. So, they both ask, and other Mefarshim asked the same question, the Levim of that generation, Taka did an Aveira, and they deserve to lose their Maaser Rishon. But why should all future generation Levim suffer? So I saw two terutzim. The Mishnah Melech indeed says it only means that generation. In future generations, the rule reverts that the Levim get Maaser Rishon. According to Rekiva, only the Levim. According to Blaz ben Azariah, either Levim or Kahanim. The Ritvaz says different. The Ritvaz says that in future generations, the halach is as follows. If a Kohen comes with a Levi, then the Kohen will get the Maaser Rishon, not the Levi. But if a Levi comes alone, and there is no Kohen available, then the halach is that a Levi is entitled to Maaser Rishon. Only in that generation were the Levim completely excluded. So up to right now is that the Gemara still, Rav, says we don't know how to treat the Levim. And it could be that the Levim are not an Am, and therefore they don't have to give Matnas Kuna. Toshma, continues the Gemara, the Brisa says, Zayaklal, Kol Dovashu B'Kedusha Kigoyin, Trumav, Trumas Maisa, V'Chala, Maitzina Yisom, B'Yodam. We take from them. The called over Shein Bay Kedusha could go in Trumas Mais Vechala could go in Israel Chaim Kavim Emitzin Aisam Yadam. So we see clearly that they're not obligated to give. So why is Rav have a Shaila? Doesn't this Brisa say clearly that they're not obligated? And it's the Gemara, that's not the way to understand the Brisa. Could go in Zroya Velo Zroya. It says Kigoyin Zroi, but doesn't mean Zroi L'chaim Keva, or my new, my Sereshin, or Labasa the Kinsinu Ezra. That after Ezra came, that they don't get my Sereshin, but they're not obligated to give my Sereshin. That's what the Brisa means. Zroi L'chaim Keva, I don't know. Continues the Gemara. Toshma, we're going to learn in the Mishnah, in tomorrow's Shir. Hashaych L'Koyin, if somebody shechs on behalf of a Koyin, or Ivy Kachavim, Pata Menamatonis. Then there's no obligation to give the Matnas Kuna. It's a guy, it's a kohen. Isn't it clear? Hola Levi Yisrael. If you're shechting on behalf of a Levi or behalf of Yisrael, chayif, then you are obligated. So isn't this clear indication that Levim are not excluded from the din of Zroel Chayim Makeva? Says the Gemara, Loi Tema, don't understand that Mishnah to say, Hola Levi Yisrael chayif, Ela Ema al Yisrael chayif. That if you shecht an animal on behalf of a Jew, and as we're going to learn in tomorrow's shir, even if the shaykhid is a kayin, the butcher is a kayin, but if he's shechting expressly on behalf of a Jew, he has a chiyah Zroel Chaim Akeva. Ava Levi, but why would be the halacha if you're shechting on behalf of a Levi? Potter. Ask the Gemara if that is indeed the din, so the Mishnah should have taught us even a bigger chiddush. Why does the Mishnah speak about a case that I'm shechting on behalf of a kohen? It should have told us even a bigger chiddush. Not only when you shecht on behalf of a kohen are you exempt, but even if you shecht on behalf of a Levi. One question. Vatan, void, there's an express price, asked the Gemara. Hatanya, an explicit price. Hakshaych lekayin alayv kachavim potter menamatanis ulevi Yisrael chayiv. So it says clear that the Levim are not excluded from Zroel Chayim v'kayeva. Tiyufta the Rav, isn't this clearly a refutation of Rav's opinion? Amalach Rav, to which Rav says tanoihi. Actually, this question of how to treat Levim is machlokes tanoim. The Tanya, the Torah teaches us that on Yom Kippur. There are very unique karbanos that are brought. We discussed this in Masechta Yuma and other places, that the animal is slaughtered and the blood is sprinkled on the proiches and on the Mizbeach Azov. And the Torah says, V'chiper es HaKodesh Zalefnai Lefnim. It comes to me, Mechaper, if anybody went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, B'tumma. Or a Moed, it comes to Mechaper, if somebody went into the Heichel, when he was Tomei. Mizbeach, it comes to teach us Kamashmoy. If somebody approached the Mizbeach when he was Tomei, all of this obviously Bishoigik. Yechaper, Elu Azorus. If somebody went into the Azorus when he was Tomei. Kohanim, Kamashmo. That it comes to be Mechaper the Kohanim. Amako, Elu Yisrael. Yechaper, Elu Levim. V'tani Idach, but there's another Brisa that says, Yechaper, Elu Avodim. The Yechap is referring to the Avodim. My love, what are the machlokes between these two brises? Ma'ak ma'akamafki. The Masover ikru'am. The man, the Omer, that says that the Levim are part of the Amakol, so they don't need a special pasuk for the Levim. So the Yechaper could be speaking about the Avodim Kanamim. Umar Savalo Yikru'am. They're not part of Klal Yisrael, and we need a special pasuk for the Levim. So we see if the Levim are considered part of Am or not is actually a Machlokes Tanoim. Ask the Gemara, but now we have a problem. Rav. So now we were up to, unlike when we started the sugya, is that it's a machlokes tanon, if the Levim are obligated or not. So now, ask the Gemara, let Rav tell us what he thinks. Is Velika Haytana, if he holds like the Tana that says the Levim are exempt, lema, he should say so. Is Velika Haytana, and if he holds like the Tana that they're not exempt, lema, he should say so. Says the Gemara, what happened here actually was the Sapkalei. Rav has actually a suffix, ika haitana, ika haitana. What is the proper halacha? Is the halacha that Levim are am, or is the halacha that Levim are not am? And therefore, he left a bit suffix, hamotzim chaver olav araya. Says the Gemara, darish merema, hilchus kavasei the Rav. The halacha is like Rav regarding Levim, that we don't know how to treat them, and therefore we leave it status quo. We don't take from them, but we don't give them Zerayel Chaim V'keva. V'chus HaKavar say the Rav Chizda, what we learned at the beginning of this year, that if somebody is Mazik, the Zerayel Chaim V'keva, there's no Din Torah.